lead you in a prayer now and pray for God to feed us from his word. Lord, we're blind without you, so please open our eyes. We're cold without you, so please warm our hearts. And spiritually, without you, we're dead. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and enable us to live the new life in Christ, in whose faith we trust and pray we are. Amen. You will need your Bibles in a moment, and if you want to have one close at hand, they're towards the end of the pews. A little bit of a preamble from me to start with, deliberately done before we turn up a page of Scripture. I want to approach this brief Pentecost thought in this particular way, starting, in fact, with Jesus Christ. The Spirit is given that his preeminence, when we evangelize him to others, or his presence in our lives, only really happens to a greater or lesser extent, depending on our openness to the Holy Spirit. And someone once described Jesus and his gospel and his message as the scandal of particularity. That's to say, in one particular human being, a carpenter who lived and breathed and taught and died and rose again, AD 30 or 33 or thereabouts, there is a scandal in that this particularity of this one person, the best person that ever lived, the very Son of God, is the means to know God as Father. There's no other way. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And if you open up that scandal of particularity to be, I'm trying to think of other adjectives, but amazed or astounded, those would do for a start, the world he grew up around. So if he died at AD 33, when things were starting to be written about him, starting off about AD 30, and then probably the last scriptures were concluded about AD 120 or thereabouts, although I can't be precise, it was over a 50-year period, and this all happened in a relatively small part of the globe. There is another amazing piece of social history. You've got the scandal of the particularity that in this one human being that lived at that time, we access God. And now the pages of the Holy Scripture, which a good few hundred years later, the collective wisdom of the church sealed and said, the canon is done and dusted. We have the word of God before us. This is it. This is how God communicates to us. You not only gain Christ through this particular person, but if you're seeking to follow him, you need somehow to be inhabiting and living according to these scriptures that were written over a 50, 60 or 70 year period within a particular pattern of socio and geographical human history. It is quite amazing. And if you, and I'm not going to do the whole 60 years in a couple of minutes, but even if you just reflect that as soon as Jesus rose again and promised to send his Holy Spirit from the day of Pentecost, the gospel message and the life of the Spirit and the life of Jesus seem to go across geographical barriers. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And then across racial barriers, Jews and Gentiles, across barriers of gender. And Jesus started the way as the best person to ever treat a woman with dignity and respect. He could engage with a prostitute. He could enable a woman who was crying to bathe his feet in tears. And there was no shame. In fact, the whole thing was profoundly and beautifully holy. And he raised their stature. Geographical, social, political, ethnic, sexual boundaries, the church grew. And of course they didn't always get it right. Various things went wrong, and so the eager beaver brains wrote to them about their particular issues and problems. You really need to sort this out, and you have a number of letters written about all that. And then once for all, it was decided that the gospel message that was seemingly breeding like wildfire needed to be written down for all time, that the salvation that had been revealed by God should go to everyone, we have the famous and unsurpassed book of Romans written. Not only does the Holy Spirit come and speak to God's people when they read the scriptures, and to use language I think I'm speaking on Sunday, his spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're God's children, and there is a living interaction between this word of God. Within those 50, 60 years, there was a lot of life and activity. Here's the point. Other than the expansion, other than the boundaries that were being crossed in the early church, as these exciting developments unfolded, there was an unmistakable pattern and discernment about what life in the Spirit was, and also those who didn't have that life. Or for those who did have that life, how that life could be encapsulated and distilled, lest as the years and the decades went back, go over, that something of the heart of the scandal of this particularity of in this Jesus Christ and in all his beauty and transcendence is God. And when he asks people to follow him and we follow him, that that message continues authentically and vibrantly and well. For the gift of the Spirit is given not just on the day of Pentecost, but to all who trust in Christ. How do we benchmark that? Litmus test it and make sure it's authentic, is going to carry on, and is genuine. Without further ado, 1171. And I'm simply going to read, and then we'll have a moment's quiet after I ask you a thought or two, and you won't have to share this with anyone else. I'll not be asking you in plenary. I'll just simply say, well, have a think, and then I'll carry on and say something else. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. or thereabouts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A moment in stillness for us to reflect together. If we're living the life of the Spirit, and the life of the Spirit is within us, then these things will be produced by him. Our parents can't give these things to us. We cannot give them to our children. You can't be educated in them. You can't attend church and get them. You can't minister in the name of the church and get them for yourself. They come from only one place, the Spirit. It's of him. And neither is it the case that, oh, it's Friday today, it must be fish and chips day, and so today I must really work on love. Oh, it's Monday today, I must finish over the leftovers from Sunday lunch. There's a lot of stuff stuck in the fridge, all needs hoovering up. I must work on patience today. The in-laws are coming round, or whatever it is. It kind of doesn't work like that. We're either in the Spirit or we're not. The passage surrounding it indicates that there will be a degree of kind of turbulence or conflict. Paul uses language about you're at war. It's kind of not straightforward. And as the years go by, many of us realize that living the Christian life does not get easier, it actually gets harder. The context, Paul seems to indicate that these particular virtues, or that the Spirit's fruit that just emerge when we're in the Spirit, happen in the context of the relationship of the life of the local church. And so Paul speaks about loving each other. But also Paul speaks about you're led by the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit. It's a kind of day-to-day thing. It's not just a little precious thought to help us on our way at a parish prayer meeting or the sorts of things we do and sing about on Sunday. It's first thing in the morning, it's last thing at night. It is as we walk and go about our business that the fruit of the Spirit is evidenced. What a wonderful gift the gift of the Spirit is, that God so chooses to work these things in us. It's beautiful to see them in other people. We often don't see them in ourselves, but His Spirit does produce those fruits. And these things are wonderful to pray for in others and to aspire for in our own lives. Perhaps Paul wrote these things down that Christian believers might kind of come back to what's at the heart of it all. If Pentecost and the power of the Spirit and keeping the message of Christ alive is what's important to His people. And I trust then, so now. Let's pray together, and I think we might be led in a song or two. I'll hand back over to Anthony, but I'll pray now. Moment's quiet. Father, we thank you for the pledge of your Spirit's presence to be at work amongst your people. And once again, we open our lives up to his transforming grace. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his life through his people. And we pray this evening you cause us to seek the work of your kingdom and the work of your Spirit. In Jesus' name.